answer your phone. It is not acceptable. You deserve to lose. You deserve to go out of business if you don't answer your phone.
I'm Dave Sullivan, and today John DeLaurier and I talk about why roofing companies stay stuck, what the best contractors are doing differently, and how to build systems that actually help you sell more work. John, what are you seeing out there?
So I'm recovering from Achilles surgery, so I haven't been to shows in a little bit, but my team has. And I went to a ton of shows last year. But overall, some people are winning. Some people are struggling. Some people are growing massively. Some people are, you know, chasing storms. Some people are doing really well with retail. It's kind of all over the board. Some people, there's a theme of like, nobody's working, but I see a lot of people that are really doing well. And in the roofing industry is no different than any other industry. There are people that are really focused on being forward thinkers, moving how to serve their customer base, how to set up systems. Do they care about technology? Do they care about the three-legged stool? Or are they trying to sell work, do work? Are they keeping score? It really hasn't changed. There are good years, there are bad years. It basically just means, is it easy to sell this year or is it more difficult to sell this year? That's what I'm seeing. I know I've had, in almost the 10 years that I had my roofing business, it was just like that. It was like there, some years it was like shooting fish in a barrel. Some years it was like I couldn't catch a fish. I just thought of that off the top of my head, Dave. That's pretty good. I don't know. I mean, I see it all over the place. I mean, some of our customers are really doing well. And so it is hard for me to say like, oh, it's a slower year. I know that it's definitely been slower with material being ordered, but people that are trying to actually think ahead and be forward thinking, they're winning.
There's definitely fewer roofs going on every year this year. Mm-hmm. And that we can see that by searches are down, material manufacturers, we can see all those numbers. So there are fewer roofs. So the pie is shrinking. You just got to go out there and get a bigger piece of that pie. And you got to have a strategy to go do that. And what we're talking about, the guys that are successful have figured it out. And I really think what I've learned over the years and in my business, and I think in your business, it really comes down to the basic blocking and tackling and keeping things simple and consistent and trying to stay away from the shiny objects and so forth until you get that strong foundation built. Because if you don't have that foundation, you can't grow a business because things start breaking all the time. You agree with that?
Yeah, it's very true. And just kind of going back to the general idea of, I have seen people that have there's a huge movement for private equity and all these things. We understand people can feel different ways about that. At the end of the day, you will exit your business. You will die. You will sell it to your kids, give it to your kids, sell it to private equity. At some point, you will exit your business. So what I've seen is the companies that are winning, They may intend to never sell it to private equity and they want to keep it forever, keep it in their family, whatever the reason. Maybe they just want to build it and their kids don't even want it. But the ones that build it to be able to sell it are the ones that are winning. Right. Because of all the things that you have talked about for years and years and years. If you have the systems in place, then your customers have a better experience. They write more 5-star reviews. You get lower cost leads because you're all over the place, not just online, but everywhere else. And you're able to not just survive, but thrive. So all this talk of, if you're thinking, I don't never want to sell to private equity, they're destroying the industry. You better build your business to be able to sell and pay attention to those things that those companies are looking for. And that is SOPs. Standard operating procedures for every role in your business. If you do that, and it's not sweating on a roof. It's not driving and talking to customers. It's a different type of hard work. If you do that, you are way more likely to succeed. It is, if you understand your numbers and really know them, you are way more likely to weather the storm of slower years. It's over and over again. I see it. People that, you know, I don't need a coach. I don't need a good CRM. I don't need all those things. They're the ones complaining because they're struggling because they didn't value those things and they still don't value those things and they still struggle. It is something that you have to understand that roofing is behind every other industry. HVAC, all those mechanical, they're behind. All those successful businesses do exactly what I'm saying. They prioritize taking care of their customers. They prioritize getting Google reviews. They have tens of thousands of reviews. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to be intentional about all of these things so that you can weather storms like slower years, like the past couple of years.
We always say from day one, we build to sell. And that doesn't, as you say, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to sell, but that's how you build out a successful company one way or the other. And there's reasons for that. And it's a step-by-step process. And the things that they want to see, just as you said, you know, well-run businesses, solid, good financials that are consistent, that are usable. I mean, it's just having all these, you know, crazy financials that you can't read, it looks scammy. So there's a lot of things that don't look right. And building out these positions, the idea of getting the right seats on the bus, putting the right butts in the seats, and looking at these positions and each step goes along. It's just not a shotgun blast where you're going to, I'm going to hire this person because I think I need this or that. It's got to be strategic, and you have to have a strategic business plan to get there. And talking about the SOPs, where this is so important, because think of it as a franchise and why franchises are so successful. You go to McDonald's, man, you get hired by them. Hey, here's how you do the burger. There's a big old thick, you know, SOP manual. Standard operating procedure. Take the burger, flip it here, put two pickles on there, put this much ketchup on, boom, next. There's no question. Everybody understands what the program is. It's consistent. So when you bring people in, it's easier to train them. And this is where we see so often when it comes to sales guys. I see owners, business owners that have never gone out and really sold, never have a system. So how are you going to teach your company system to some new guy that comes in and gets them up and trained quickly? So I agree. That is just so important to build to sell, because most contractors by far, you know, they think they're going to, their business is worth all this money. You know, oh, I've got all these customers and all of this, you know, and I've got a bunch of old roofers out there and a bunch of old trucks. Well, that has no value to an outside buyer. When's the last time you took a 2-week vacation? I always look at that. Now, can you take a 2-week vacation from your business and not have to be on the phone all the time and it still runs? Now, if you could do that, that's a pretty well-run company. But if you can't do that, you don't have a business. You have a job. That's a totally different thing. So you have to get out of that mindset and build a business in a strategic way. You know, and this is what we talk about on this podcast every week. You know, build this out, because most people will never sell their business. They just get to the end. They're all beat up. They think their business is worth all this money. Can't find anybody to sell it and just close the doors and walk away. That's it. That's where most of the industry is by far.
You are making my day, because literally my friend is calling me on my phone, who called me about 2 hours ago. And he knows, like, I love small business. And he's like, you should invest in this business. Dave, I Dave Sullivan that guy. Because he's probably going to watch this and be like, I can't believe you said that. All right. It's a concrete business. It's local to the Savannah area. He's grew up in Savannah. Everybody knows this guy. He's 71 years old. His son was the general manager. His son does not want to take over the business. I wonder why. Let's think about all those things that you're saying right now. I wonder if maybe there's no systems, there's no SOPs. Because if it's so, I mean, he lives in a, you know, $1 million house. There's obviously money over time. Like, the proof is in the pudding, is what my friend always said. Great. Let's talk about it. What's the name of the business? I don't really know. It's like, and he started listing off a bunch of letters. And I was like, okay, so you don't know even the name. You've known this guy for 20 years. You don't know the name of his business. There's no online presence. There's no way to find him. Yeah, but he poured my concrete for my driveway and he poured my concrete for my friends. Great. So how do I find this business? I don't know. I just, you just know, like, okay, that's great. That's all. He's 71. He wants to retire and go do X, Y, Z. Great. Those are all fine things. Just what you're saying. Well, it would be great if there was a general manager. Well, that it was his son and his son's leaving to go run another business somewhere. Okay. So there's no people, there's no processes. Well, there's all this equipment. There's all like, and there's these crews. I said, so who runs the crews? Like how they're loyal to him. Okay. So when he leaves, he's going to stay on for a year or two. Is it a year or is it 2 years? And what happens when he leaves in a year or 6 months? Because I've seen that happen.
And they usually do.
Emily May knows this. She had her butt, like, the dude was like 6 weeks. Yeah, anyway.
Surprise.
So to your point, Dave, this is apparently a $3 million revenue business. This, you've heard this in roofing a million times. I've been around here. Everybody knows me. I do $3 million. I have a $1 million house. So obviously I make money. And truthfully, they made money for decades because he's 71. He's been doing this for 40 years. Of course he should have some money. But the business is worth nothing.
Yep.
It's worth nothing. Oh, you can sell the equipment. The old equipment. I'm going to buy the old equipment that I have to fix. Right.
5 cents on the dollar at auction.
And like, this is exactly what you just said. You made me so happy because I just had the conversation and he got so pissed. I was like, I'm right. You're wrong. Like, this is worth nothing. He's like, well, he wants $3 million for the business. Oh, so he does $3 million in revenue and he wants $3 million for his business. Listen, roofers, if this is you or you heard people like this, or I've heard of a deal like this, stupid people buy that. Foolish people buy that. Because it's not worth anything. $0. I told him, he goes, it's worth something. This is worth $0, dude. $0. Nothing. He has nothing, no assets to even buy. If he had 1,000 Google reviews and a website that was, you know, performing on Google, sure, that's
tons of leads.
That's something. And he had a good faith customer list. Okay. Literally, so you did a driveway for somebody. They're never going to use you again because you did.
Your name.
They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So, to your point, I had to tell that story because you just got me all razzed up from this conversation. He was so mad. He was so excited that I made him so mad so fast. And I was like, yeah, I'm not investing in that at all. Like, it's not happening. If you want, I'll have more conversations and then we'll have really hard conversations about how it's worth nothing. And then, to your point, he's 71 years old. He will sell his house. He will get nothing for his business. That crew will go nowhere. He will sell the equipment for nothing. Just float off into the ether. When he could have had probably easily, if he did just some things right, he probably could have gotten $1 million.
Yep. Everybody says, oh, there's all this goodwill in this business. Well, that's a bunch of crap, first off, because there's just as much bad will as there is goodwill. So you've got all these guys. Maybe this guy's got, you know, a 3.2 rating on Google, because instead of all these great customers, there's all these guys running around talking crap about them, you know? Yep. Or you got all this warranty work that's sitting out there, all this liability. You have no idea. And I see this when these guys buy these companies and I go, why don't you bring me in on the deal before this? Okay. Because I can see right now, you know, You don't want these people hanging around. I mean, they're not going to do you any good. It's going to be a problem. So anyway, that's an interesting conversation, but you got to start there. So you got to have that mindset that we're going to build to sell. And you need to understand, I mean, I don't care if you're selling roofs or selling shoes. You are a business person. You are in business. And it doesn't matter. And if you don't understand business, go sell roofs for somebody else. I mean, yep. You make a good living, you know? Yep. You don't have to put up with all the crap that you're going to do, risk all of this stuff. So, all right, well, that's good stuff. What I want to talk about today, I think, is taking a look at some of these things and how we can smooth out these businesses, and going from all of your experience, my experience, seeing what we see, why are these companies stuck? They just can't get out of their own way, and they just can't grow their business or grow it profitably. Because, well, you got to grow it profitably. You got to make profit. You know, we're more concerned about making profit than we can grow our company. You don't grow a business to make money. You got to make money so you can grow your business, not the other way around. Okay. It doesn't work. So what we've got, as we always talk about on this show, and John, you mentioned it earlier, we've got a three-legged stool. So picture a three-legged stool, and that stool is your business. The stool has to be solid and strong, and that's our foundation. We've got those three legs, and those three legs, we have to sell work, we have to do work, and we've got to keep score. Each one of those legs is just as important as the other, and it has to be in balance. One leg gets weak, the whole thing topples over, and that could be your business. And, you know, you can have all the sales in the world, but you can't make any money on them because you can't get the work done profitably. Boom, stool falls over. It's done. So I want to get into this and talk about really just kind of how to build this foundation, this three-legged stool, and look at each one of these briefly. And we'll take some of the lessons that we've learned over time and what you're seeing, what works, what doesn't, and just kind of touch on some of these. So the first leg is sales, because nothing happens until somebody sells something. But you can't sell anything until you got a lead. Somebody wants to buy something, so you got an opportunity. So let's just start with that. I don't want to get into the big whole thing about, you know, what's lead generation and so forth. But you had some interesting comments where we're talking about, you know, you can take in generally, you take 5% of your sales, and that should be what you're going to spend on marketing. You know, whether that's right or wrong. But if you just take that as a baseline. So you got, you know, $5,000 a month. What are you going to spend it on? Okay. And most people just hire an agency and say, okay, go get me a bunch of Google, you know, just dump it into Google. They don't understand what's going on, where it's going, what's happening. But all they do is just bitch because it doesn't work. And then they go to somebody else and they do the same thing rather than taking a look at this and taking charge of their marketing. But a lot of this stuff you don't have to spend money on. It's the basic low-hanging fruit. And that's where we want to start. So what do you think of that, John? And what are some of your thoughts on getting going or really doing the things that most contractors don't do? And this is your starting point. This is part of your foundation when it comes to lead generation.
All right. So selling work part is connected to marketing, like we're talking about. It is, you have to have leads. Everyone's always asking for leads all the time. It's never ended. For 15 years, I've seen it. How do you get new leads?
30.
It's crazy. All right, so here's what you got to do. First, follow Tim Brown, Tim Hook. Watch what he's doing with Owl Roofing. Some people don't like that he has a roofing company now, which is insane to me. He can do whatever he wants. He obviously has like a cheat code. Like, because he knows SEO and he knows how to run ads and he has an agency, is very successful. They do really great work.
Just
great websites.
He was on before when he was planning this, getting this ready to roll out. Tim was on the show and we kind of went through it and I took him through the, you know, through what we're talking about, you know.
So watch that episode. Stuff.
It's great because he's thinking it through correctly.
Mm-hmm. So, again, how do you get more leads? It's cheating because he's got his own agency. Nah, you don't need all that. You can work up to that and work up to hiring Hook Agency to run all that stuff for yourself. But in the beginning, you have to have something that's consistent every single week, at least every once a week, but probably more times than one a week. And it doesn't stop when you're really busy. You have to have something that's sustainable that you continually do. And here's two things. You must, and I mean must, do 30 individual videos, 1 minute or less, every single month. That can be 10 a day for 3 days. They use a scheduling software like Loomly. Ding! Click this link. There's no link. Just Loomly. LOOMLY. That's a scheduling software. There's a bunch of them out there. And you must schedule at least one video on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, maybe LinkedIn. YouTube is a whole different thing, but you should probably do YouTube Shorts as well. Every day of every calendar day of the month. You have to do that. If you're not doing that, if you think, I don't want to be, there's all these memes out there where I didn't know I'm an ex-contractor, or I'm a plumbing contractor or a roofing, whatever. I didn't know I had to be a content creator. You do. Get over it. 30 videos, one every calendar day for every day of the year. You must do that. Do not be putting some infographics with your company logo. 20% of it is about roofing. 80% of it is going to be about your personal life. It's going to be somewhat connected to roofing because that's all you do all day is freaking get on roofs. So hot takes on like trending topics. Doesn't have to be TikTok dances, but it needs to be something that people see you every single day. Hashtag your city, hashtag roofing. All those things have to happen. Yeah, you can have no knowledge on this and just do that. So that's step one. You must do that. If you don't, just quit now. I'm serious. Yeah. Like if you don't do that, you will not be in business in 2 years. You won't. You won't be in business.
Nobody likes doing video themselves.
No.
Get used to it. It's practice. Okay.
Yeah.
Like everything, you will get better.
That's right. And it took me forever. I've told the story a million times where I had to like sit in my office and film myself every single day before I had breakfast so that I would actually earn my breakfast. All right. So, because I hated it. Do that. That's the first thing. That's almost free. The second thing is very, very affordable is shout out to Brad Akers, the neighborhood domination thing where you watch Tim Brown. He puts out yard signs everywhere. He does door hangers. I don't actually watch him do this, but we did door hangers and we did postcards. It will sell you jobs. You will be able to do, just like what you said, Dave, forever, is like when you sell a job in a neighborhood, you get another job in the same neighborhood. Yep. You will do this. Those are two very, very affordable things where you don't have to have $20,000 a month for Google Ads or whatever. And that's a way higher cost to acquire a customer, a CAC. Like you don't want to have a high acquisition cost. You want to have a low, like try to make it $500 or $600 to get one customer. That's what you want to be shooting for. And you'll be surprised. Go through Brad's program. You'll be like, how is it $1,200? Because of these things. It costs all these things to do it. So
yeah,
Google Ads, those are the two things. Management. Make content every single day and then do the neighborhood domination. You will get leads. That's kind of the segue into, that's a simplistic way of saying the segue into selling work.
Get reviews. And this is where I'm a fan of doing repairs. You know, you got to charge a lot of money to do repairs, but if you do repairs, you're going to get a review. And you, as you say, these guys that have, you know, thousands of reviews, they have a system. It's a process to get it. We teach that all the time. And it matters. And these are the things that you do, you know, post, photos on your GMB page or whatever it's now. And
Whatever it's called. That's another thing you do have to do. You can do that. Use Loomly as well. Use that to post onto your business page. Make sure you're following all Google's rules as well, because they're definitely suspending accounts.
Yep. And have a good website. You don't have to spend a lot of money, but it's got to be a website that converts into appointments. And that's all there is to it. And you know, it's not a pretty website. Doesn't matter what you think when you show off all your friends and so forth. You've got to have a good website that converts, but don't spend a ton of money on it at this point. You know, when you're a $50 million company, great. You can afford to do these things. But when we're starting off and we're talking about the contractors between $1 and $10 million, where are you going to put this money? Because you've got to really focus on which channels you're going to put money in, which ones start working, and then you're going to put gasoline on that fire. But without tracking, without understanding, for the guys that say, okay, here's 10 grand a month to the marketing agency, go get me leads, you're screwed. I mean, it's just not going to work. You have to understand, and it's a partnership that you have to work with them. You have to be involved, and you've got to understand it. But it's not easy getting leads. And the biggest problem that I see, really, it's not about getting leads. It's about now, what do we do with those leads? And as you say, we're working in a neighborhood. Our goal is to turn that one job into one additional job in the neighborhood, okay, through the yard signs, through the postcards, through the things that we talk about. Low cost things. Google ads, don't do them yourself. And
For most really contractors, for 98% of contractors, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. Like the top 2 to 3%, it makes sense because they understand how to optimize that. They use good agencies. It's not the way, though. Don't start throwing money at that right now.
Yeah. And if you're going to do a lot of SEO work, you better understand how it works, what works. Otherwise, you can waste a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm just dealing with this. Yeah. So, okay.
Well, I need to back up one time, though, Dave, before we move on to like the things about sales. Don't do what I did. Don't do the stupid thing. Don't do this. Everyone's still doing it. Stop doing that. Stop doing this. I'm holding a hat if you're listening to this. Yeah. Don't do what Dave did either. All right. So we're holding, if you're listening to this, I'm holding up my second or third version of my roofing hat. I can't even say Delarier right. That's not even how you say it. It's a French Canadian name. You can't spell it. You can't say it. It's like every other roofing logo ever. The reason Owl Roofing is so smart is because there's like a very funny way to go, who? Owl Roofing. And it's three letters, OWL. There's no one else that it probably has Owl Roofing in the country. Think of something super unique. I actually have you can probably, if you search my stuff enough, you'll find out. I actually have a trademark on something that is pretty good that I recommend a trademark attorney so you don't get sued like I did. So
learn from John's mistake.
Yeah, learn from my mistake. So, and don't think that because you own the LLC, the URL, there's no trademark on the item that you're not going to get sued, because there was no trademark on this item and I still got sued.
Yeah.
So learn from my mistake again. So all of the marketing stuff we just talked about, the neighborhood domination and the logos and everything you have on your vehicles, make sure the brand's actually unique. Make sure that it's not just, it needs to be different than your competitors, especially like if you're in Dallas or Denver or Minneapolis, everyone's got a roof on their logo. It doesn't help you. You might as well just be throwing away that effort. So you need a unique brand before we even get into sales. You got to have a really, really strong, that's one mistake I really wish I had made. I mean, again, I've told the story a million times. My previous employer owed me a bunch of money. I was out of money. I had to start a business. I get it. But I really could have started over. I could have like taken, I don't know, a day to think about it, as opposed to just getting the most common clip art you can ever get. Anyway, that's a really important thing about any business. I don't care if you're just starting out or you're $1 million or $2 million. It doesn't matter. Be different with the brand and the logo.
Yeah, I agree. Because you're building that brand. It's tough when, you know, I have a number of guys that I'm working with that are in that same situation. Terrible name. People can't remember it. At what point do you rebrand?
I waited 8 years, and that was so painful and costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yep. Don't do that. Do not do that. Don't wait. Do it now.
But you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you know, your Google presence, you can really screw it up.
Yeah.
A lot of bad things can happen. It's not that easy. And trying to come up with a name and a good URL, it's not easy. You know, you can hang, you know, one of my clients just hired Dan Antonelli, you know, I mean, that guy kicks ass. $40,000 cost to do it.
Let me tell you, if I had spent $40,000 when I didn't have it, if I had put it on a credit card, I would have saved $200,000. So that's just me and my little business. Just letting you know that it's worth hiring somebody who knows what they're doing.
Okay. So we're still talking about lead generation. And I just want to wrap this up by saying the other underutilized tactic that most people don't do is referrals. They just don't have a referral program process. I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, you get $50 if you refer the customer and so forth. I mean, there's pros and cons to that. But to have a system where you're asking for referrals, that's your best source of business. I mean, you're going to close the highest rate. That's why we do the neighborhood domination. Those are coming from referrals, but you have to ask consistently. And still, you have to keep top of mind. I always use this example. This guy's doing my garage doors all the time. You know, well, finally comes down, I got to replace him. Well, here's the big job, right? I can't even remember who the guy was. And he's out there all the time. But I just forgot, okay? If it just kind of kept in touch, whether it be just a postcard, something like that, top of mind, or your, you know, friend asks, hey, who, you know any good roofers? Yeah, I got this guy, he did my house, but I can't really remember. So being out there, and what I like to do is, let's say, 6 months or a year, hey, it's your roof's 1 year anniversary, okay, birthday, boom, here's something, here's a coffee cup, or here's a, you know, box of brownies. Just want to thank you for putting your trust in us, because our business is built on our reputation and our referrals and our five-star reviews. So if you could keep us top of mind in any of those that you haven't done, if you haven't done a review, please help us out. Boom. 1 year later. Okay. Things like that. You were just reaching out and doing you were telling me about the handwritten note that you had been working on here today.
Yeah. So Dope Marketing's got handwritten notes. A lot of people, I'm holding them up. If you're not watching, a bunch of these, you hear that? Those are a bunch of handwritten notes I made today that James Gillespie's our head of growth. We're, you know, we're doing something different. That's Think Different. There's a whole book on that with Mike Michalowicz. Doing something different. It's not using machines. It's very clear. We're using Sharpies. We're not asking for anything. We're just reaching out to prospects. You should be doing that with your existing customers and prospects. I also want to shout out, I just did a podcast on my podcast with Matt Danskin, Restoration Referral Partners. He has a very unique process for insurance agents. You need to reach out to him, Matt Danskin. You'll find him all over Facebook. It is something that, talking about referrals, if whether you're in a quote storm market or not, it's a very unique way of generating real value to your referral partners, as opposed to like bringing donuts to their office and be like, hey, send me some leads. There's 50 roofers that do the same thing. Don't do that. So get referrals that way. That's one of the, shout out to him. And that is a unique way to get referrals from insurance side of things. Other big companies that are really successful know how to work with realtors. I didn't personally love it, but I had, out of the 100 that wanted to work with me, about 5 to 7 of them were awesome and would send me real work all the time. And they didn't care about gift cards. They didn't care. That's not what they want. They want to know that you're going to take care of their customers, their clients. Yep. And so that takes, you know, building relationships, getting 5-star reviews, people talking really positively about you and your business. The referral side of things is a huge, huge deal. Oh, backing up this, we talked about branding. We talked about easy ways to get leads. Please answer your phone.
That's what I was going to take, because we're moving into lead intake. Now, we got some leads, but this is where contractors blow it. The intake is screwed up. Go ahead with the answering the phone, because it starts with that.
You can use an answering service. That's okay. That's a B- in my opinion. I use an answer service forever. At least someone is answering your phone. For the love of everything. I can call 5 roofing companies in my market right now, and they will not answer their phone, and they deserve to be losing. And you know who I'm talking about. I've called you, and then I message them later, like, dude, answer your phone. Like, I would call from a random number. They would answer their phone. Like, this is insane. Answer your phone. It is not acceptable. You deserve to lose. You deserve to go out of business if you don't answer your phone.
They will not leave a message.
People don't. I immediately called. I actually tried to find somebody one time in a specific home service. I needed this for myself, and I called 5 people before one person answered their phone. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start that business right now, and I will destroy them all. And it's just literally, answer your phone. So we like SMA. I used SMA. Kathleen was amazing. They have well-trained virtual assistants. It's, I don't know what the number is now, $3,500 a month. There's no payroll tax. You don't have to pay for office supplies. They're super friendly. They're dedicated to your company. They understand your process. If you lead them correctly, they will do exactly what you want. They will follow scripts. Someone will answer your phone every business minute if you want that to happen. You gotta, that's the lowest bar. You've got to do that. If you're not ready to financially support a full-time inside sales rep who answers the phone or a receptionist who answers the phone in your office, totally get it. That's going to be way more money. If you think, oh, it's just...
I don't recommend that anyway.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea because even if you hire SMA, they go on vacation. Like Kathleen would go on vacation. I tell her, oh, yeah, you want to go to your wedding? Yeah, sure. All these things. Yeah, absolutely. They have a manager that understands your SOPs and will answer the phone. So you never have to like cover the phones. So answer your phone. You got to do that. You have to respond to every lead source 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have to do it. How do you do this? You got to have all the systems in place to do that.
I mean, you know, you're paying a lot of money for these leads, a lot of money to get these leads. And you're throwing them half of them in the garbage can and you don't even know it. That's the thing. Oh, they'll just leave a message. Well, you're getting calls or they're calling you on a weekend. I mean, we run, you know, tracking and we can see what clients are, when they're getting their calls and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's really surprising of the people that call after hours and on weekends.
It's very high percentage. If you don't think it is like, oh, well, I'm getting no leads. 5:07 PM. You're out. Your receptionist is out the door. You're lost. So, you better have something in place to answer the phone. And so the next step, Dave, we all know this. People talk about it all the time. AI agents. Have an AI agent answering your phone after hours. There's a bunch of them. ProLine has them, but there's a bunch of them out there. It's included in all the ProLine and the two upper plans for ProLine. Have some AI agent answering your phone. If you cannot afford 24-hour answering your service, totally get it. It's expensive. Have at least an AI agent to answer the phone, to schedule an appointment, to get them on the schedule. They will not call their competitor because they just got on your schedule. Like, you did all this marketing stuff. You have a great brand. You've done neighborhood domination. You've posted every single day on social media. They call your business at 5:07 p.m. and you don't give them what they want. They'll just go to the next person immediately. I know we said this a billion times in a billion podcasts, but it still happens. That's why I'm fired up about it.
I was always skeptical about, you know, AI agents because I think, oh, you know, I don't want to talk to a robot and things like this, you know. You can't think that way. And because I'm working with one of my clients this last week and we're going through his calls. I said, he had 4 people call him that actually booked appointments on his calendar. Okay. Just on the weekend. I just thought it was amazing. And he didn't have any drop-offs. Okay. 4 people called and they wanted to have somebody come out. They booked the appointment automatically. And this is what's so important also with, you know, SMA, you take the call, pre-qualify it. If it's in your ideal prospect range, they are going to book the call and get it lined out. If you say, I'm going to have an estimator give you a call back, you're screwed.
Just quit now. It doesn't happen.
I know. It's amazing. These are the basics that we're talking about. If you do all of these things, you will win. If you don't, it's not going to happen. I mean, that's what's amazing to me. You've got to convert. The first sale that you're making is in the booking of the appointment, the conversion. Call comes in. You better book that time. Whatever it is, you better have a system. And that's where the scheduling is so important. You know, we go through this all the time, John. You know, we're get that appointment booked. You've got to have a system for how's that going to work with your sales guys or whatever. Figure it out. That's what I do. You know, we sit there and go, okay, well, let's think this through. What do you have to work with? This is what we're going to do, but get that appointment booked. Step 1 in our building our foundation. Plain and simple.
Got to answer the phone. Got to do it. Yes. Not just answering the phone. So I say on top of that, because it's after hours and things, maybe they don't want to talk to an AI agent. Whatever. Doesn't matter. They get on your website. They find you. And they scanned a QR code on the door hanger that you just put in their house. They're like, my neighbor got a roof. Door hanger, QR code, goes to your website. What's there? A calendar link. So that when they schedule the appointment right then, schedule appointment, guess what? You have to respond to that. For them to schedule it alone is not enough now. It's way better than most people. But if a customer says, I want this person to come out, you need an automation that actually sends a message to them. Hey, thanks for scheduling an appointment. We look forward to meeting you. It can be as simple as that. It needs to come from a text message, a real phone number that has your area code, and an email that is coming from an individual's email. It's really important to have those automations immediately happening all the time, whether you're on vacation, on weekends, I coach my kids soccer, whatever it is. It's got to come from a person on your team. Yep. And I guarantee you that person is not canceling the appointment. They're not going to. They already know your name, that you've already texted them. You've already emailed them. You provided everything they want. They need, you have the ability to solve their problem. And there is no reason for them to schedule anyone else. Because you are coming. They may have forgotten your name. They may have forgotten your company's name already. It doesn't matter. They feel seen and heard, and you provided the sale that you just talked about is scheduling that. That's the first sale. Did you schedule the appointment when they reached out to your company?
And if you want to check out ProLine CRM, head over to useproline.com. It's built specifically for roofing contractors and helps organize your pipeline, follow-up, automations, and customer communication. And let me add to that, you mentioned where they've got to know who is coming out to the house, okay? Mm-hmm. This is so important. We're talking about the pre-sale. So we just don't show up and assume they're going to be there. No, we send reminders. And yep. Every time you send a reminder, we've got a new touch. And so what we're doing is here's the salesman's face. Hey, little bio. Hey, I'm or video. I know that you do videos. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm John, and I'm gonna be your salesman. And let me just explain to you how the process works. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna look at the roof. We're gonna talk. Blah blah blah. And these are the questions I'm gonna ask you. By the time they get out there, the job is already half sold because they know who you are. You've already yep. built that trust. And how many times have you gone out to a job where they go, who the hell are you? I don't remember calling you. Okay.
Yep.
That's not going to get you very far. So again, nope. Basic process that we're talking about. Okay. So we've got the appointment booked. We're doing this. Let's just take a quick run through our process. We got our inside salesperson, SMA, helping us, let's say, and helping us support. And this is what we call them inside salesperson. They are the inside, and we want the sales guy to be out there. We want him in front of him or her in front of qualified prospects. Okay.
Yep.
The inside sales work can be done with our support, with our virtual assistant. Tell us a little about how that works.
So either you're asking on the phone or using a form to get 9 to 12 questions answered. That way, you know, they're qualified. You know, what type of, do you offer the service? There's all number of questions that we did in our company. So at that point, once they're qualified, the inside sales rep is for roofing, ordering the measurements for that roof and starting the quote for that estimate. They're starting it before the outside sales rep even gets there. So when they get there, you can present at the kitchen table, or even if they're not home, you can present with a Loom video or a Zoom video, any number of ways you can present that day with an accurate and good, better, best estimate. And again, automations go out just like what you said. The first one is when the appointment's scheduled, you have an automation. Shortly after, before the appointment happens, you send, hey, I'm John. I'm going to be your inspector today, your salesperson, whatever you want to call it. We have all the templates built out. Watch this 52-second video on what to expect on inspection day. And we had that video in a link, click, text, and email. That way, to your point, the job's already half sold because you open the door like, hey, John, I knew you were coming. I saw your video. This is all very important as a setup because as you do your inspection, they already know who you are as an individual. They know your company's name. They know what you're going to be doing, whether they're inside working from home or they're snooping outside sitting in their lawn chair. They already know what you're going to do. You do exactly what you say you're going to do. Very important. You provide a proposal or a quote that tells the customer's story, not your story, not your company's story, their problems on their roof. You're providing solutions for those problems. Problem, solution. Present this. There's three different prices.
All this stuff, John.
From failing a lot. There's, there's.
This sounds very familiar for the way that I teach my.
Yeah. So anyway, you are doing this and the customer already expects. First of all, they know you drove up in a, not a jacked up truck, but a truck that's clean and wrapped. They know that you're going to be a premium service already because just the way that your brand is presenting, you're in collared shirt, you're not wearing your hat backwards and you're running up. You're showing them that you are a professional. They know you're going to be expensive. I'll just say that straight up. They know you're going to be premium. However we want to sell this, you offer them a good, better, best option. Whichever shingle manufacturer, if you're a metal installer, whatever the options are, you offer them three of them. And you really understand your budgeting numbers. You have your price list built in. You can build a quote in a couple minutes. All you have to do is have your photos in the right place with the right annotations and you present on an iPad and they click the button and the job is sold. It really is that easy. Sell the job before you get to the house. All you're doing then is just showing the problems and the solution for the problems. They will feel confident. They will choose one of those three things. You will be one of the most high, if not the highest priced, one of the highest priced contractors in your market. You will sell between 35 and 50% of all those presentations. You will not sell 60 or 70% because if you do that, Dave, you're probably priced too cheap. Too cheap. So somewhere in that range is what you will do. And that's the first leg of the three-legged stool.
I'm just going to add one thing, of course. If you don't do this, okay, because just like what John's saying, we're talking about close rate. Your close rate's sitting down at 10% because you haven't built any trust.
Or worse, at 80%. Worse is 80%. Worse is 80%.
Well, yeah, well, that's true.
Because then you're literally going into debt.
Yes. You're guaranteed to lose money. The point that we're making, you could see that if you want to be in that sweet spot, and that's, you know, really 30 to 40%, right in there, 35, 40% close, which means you're doing a good job. If you can get that higher, if you're really doing a great job, but it can come down to price, where if you're getting all your work, some guys are so proud of the fact, yeah, I'm getting 80% of my deals, you're too cheap. Raise your prices. Get it down to where it should be. The point being is we are taking this, our process, step by step by step to get to the sale. Now, what John's talking about is making a presentation at the door or on that first day. If you leave and come back or whatever, you just cut your chance of selling that job by 50% because you're not going to close many, I don't think. I don't know how many, what your experience is on that first shot. But what you do have is you have the opportunity to find the objections, to go through this. And most are going to say, yeah, that's a really good presentation. I got to think about it. But at least they understand what the program is. Most contractors, they say, I'll get you something back here in the next couple of days. week later goes by, they text, they email some, you know, crappy looking, you know, just a, all there is just copy, you know, nobody's going to read it, you know, straight down to the bottom line. And you're not going to sell anything. Okay. Then you're just, now you have become a commodity with all these other three quotes that they're looking at, as opposed to all of the things that we're talking about. It doesn't cost us any more money. None of these things are expensive. If you do that, you will convert more. You don't need as many leads now because we're closing more.
Right.
So simple, but it's got to have a process. And again, I'll come back to when we get time to sell our job, sell our business, whatever. We've got this process in there. It's successful. We've tweaked it. Boom. This is the way that we do it every time. That's a real business. Okay. And that's how you do it. And that's how we're talking about the guys that are winning and the guys that are losing. So, okay. So that's our first leg of the stool. Got to get some, generate some leads, go sell some work. I also want to thank SMA Support for sponsoring the show. If you're overwhelmed trying to juggle phones, follow up, customer communication, and CRM management yourself, SMA helps roofing contractors organize that side of the business so things stop falling through the cracks. You can check them out at smasupport.us. Next week, John and I get into the next two legs of the stool, doing the work and keeping score, where most roofing companies really start losing money. We'll see you then.